baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
All right. Weird episode today, just to warn you. It is November 11th. Happy Remembrance Day? Is it happy? I don't know. I never know what to say. Remember to remember on Remembrance Day. Get your poppies out, go to a service, pay some respect. Let's just get to it. This is being recorded the night of Thursday, November 10th. Scott is on the road doing stand-up comedy. I am getting my wheels changed over, need the winter tires on tomorrow. So unfortunately, we couldn't get together to make an episode happen for Friday, November 11th, so we did this instead. I recorded a few separate segments. Those are available on the Clips channel individually. Tonight I recorded them. We're just throwing them all together, so if it feels a little discombobulated, that's why. So we got a lot to talk about. We've got Ross Stripling, no qualifying offer received by the Blue Jays this year. What does that mean? What does that mean for the Blue Jays and their ambitions with the pitching staff this year? Obviously, the catchers are being traded. But now, as Shai Davidi reports, and we'll get into this, outfielders even more likely to be traded than catchers. So we'll get into that. I spent about 15 minutes on that. Then we get into MLB power rankings. I know it's way too early, but that's half the fun of it. So we're going to get into some MLB power rankings. And then we're going to talk bounce back candidates in free agency. So these are guys who had a bit of an off year for one reason or another in 2022, but have shown some real promise in the past. These are 30-plus home run guys. These are 100-plus RBI guys. These are veteran catchers who could be a value in free agency for a particular team or two, worth taking a gamble on. So we spent about 15 minutes on that towards the end as well. Again, apologies for kind of a weird episode that's all over the place. Appreciate your patience and sticking with us. Just wanted to get something out for you, so did the best we could. Apologize again for the weird solo Adam content tonight. If you are new here, please, and you enjoy this content by the end of the episode, if you've stuck with us through 57 plus minutes, please, I'm sure I say it enough times through these segments, but please remember to subscribe, like, and comment on the videos. If you're not new here, thank you for being a part of the community. And join the Discord. Don't forget to join the Discord. It is free, and the conversation keeps on going there. All right. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Have a good weekend. Cheers. GM meetings have wrapped in Las Vegas. Ross Stripling is left without a qualifying offer. Blue Jays almost certain to trade a catcher this offseason, if not two. And now reports are saying Blue Jays even likelier than trading a catcher, which is almost certain. Almost certain to trade an outfielder as well. Now, we've been talking about that as well. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Teoscar Hernandez, both free agents at the end of next season. The need to move George Springer out of the center field spot so he can play more DH, go easier on his body. A lot of reasons to trade an outfielder, but now we're seeing, as reported by Shai Davidi here, Blue Jays probably trading an outfielder this offseason. So that's pretty big news. We're going to get into all this, what it means. Let's start with Ross Stripling. No qualifying offer for Ross Stripling. So qualifying offer for Ross Stripling this year would have been $19.7 million for the 2023 season. Look, I know a lot of Blue Jays fans are disappointed by this news. They wanted to see Ross Stripling back with the Blue Jays. Does this mean he won't be? No, it doesn't. Why would they have not done this? Well, why they should have, I suppose, is if they really wanted Ross Stripling back by attaching a qualifying offer, it just does encumber the free agency process when it goes to other teams because of the compensatory draft picks that would be attached to a qualifying offer. So by offering him the qualifying offer, if a team like the Dodgers or the Mets or the Giants or the Cubs or whoever wanted to go after Ross Stripling, it's a much less appealing guy to pursue as opposed to a guy that doesn't have a qualifying offer attached. So ultimately, it does put a little bit of a stain on his value, which would be a little bit more leverage in the Blue Jays' opportunity to sign him. Now, why didn't they? The downside is if he accepts the qualifying offer, $19.7 million for the 2023 season is a massive overpay for a Blue Jays organization who, as Scott and I discussed earlier this week, have so much money already invested into the starting pitchers. $20 million a year for Jose Berríos moving forward. He's basically a number four or a number five pitcher. Yusei Kikuchi, 15 plus a year for another 2 years at least. He's a bullpen arm at this point. Maybe he competes for the number five spot. We'll see how spring training goes. Ryu, dead money right now with his Tommy John surgery, won't play next year. Some people are saying, oh, he might be back mid-season. Look, it's Tommy John surgery. Maybe it will. He's old. He's getting older. Tommy John, late in the career at this point. They can't afford to miss again. It was a great season from Ross Stripling. He gave us 134 innings. It was a weird swingman position where he started in the bullpen. He gave us a couple starts. He went back to the bullpen, gave us a couple more starts. Why would he take it? Look, he's looking for starter money. Who's going to give him starter money? I've been saying this for a long time. The reports I've read, the experts, God knows I'm not one. Friend of the show, David Sampson, always hammers down on the fact that, look, starters and the ability to eat innings is a real factor when it goes into contract negotiations. Ross Stripling has never been a full-time starting pitcher. The 134 innings that he gave to us this year are by far a career best. 2018, he did 122 for the Dodgers, 101 last year, 100 in 2016. Every other season has been below that. He's 32 years old. There are question marks. There are question marks. Can he give us 170, 180? I mean, 190 innings, that's like we're talking Cy Young territory if a guy's pitching seven innings a game for 32 games a season. But can he give us 160 innings? He's never done it. That's a big innings increase for a guy who's going to be 33 next year. So if you're Ross Stripling, maybe you don't get the offers that were quite as appealing as you thought. I mean, he pitched great this year. He absolutely did. But look, his agents would have been talking to the managers. I know that no tampering or anything goes on officially right now. But he's going to have an idea already of what kind of offers he's going to get. And maybe he thought, you know what, $19.7 million to pitch 1 year with the Blue Jays. I'm going to be if Ross Stripling accepts the qualifying offer, he is absolutely the number three pitcher in our pitching staff, in our starting rotation. He does not pitch out of the bullpen this year, not for $20 million. So that gives him a real opportunity to pitch 178 innings. Make $20 million. That's nothing to sneeze at. Re-enter the trade market. The difference between being 32 and 33, not that big a deal. But the difference between having a proven, look, I can pitch 175 innings versus, well, I've never done it before, but I looked good through 130 and I could probably go long. Like, it's just, I don't think he would have taken the qualifying offer, but depending on what he's hearing, what his agents is hearing from these GM meetings in Las Vegas, there are reasons why he might have taken it. And that would have really handcuffed this Blue Jays team. Another $20 million. Maybe this means the Blue Jays do have $20 million earmarked for a mid of the rotation guy, a top tier free agent pitcher. I don't even want to speculate on names. That's your job down in the comments. Let me know. If we're not giving $20 million to Ross Stripling, where are we going to spend that money on? By all accounts, sounds like the Jays plan to add maybe two relief pitchers, maybe a third one if he has options, like a guy that can be sent to AAA or something like that. And then definitely need to add a starting pitcher still. So if we're not spending $20 million on Ross Stripling, does this make you feel good? That maybe this means, look, after the Jays, Ross Atkins just spent last 3 days in Las Vegas with other managers. This is like the, this isn't the calm before the storm, but this is like the rough draft session, right? You're compiling your notes heading into the winter meetings in December, right? You're having those unofficial conversations. Obviously, the Jays were fielding a lot of interest on the catchers. We'll get to that in just a second. You're not officially making these trades, but you're seeing what the interest is like. And that does affect decisions that you make on a guy like Ross Stripling, right? So to me, and this is just me being the super optimist here, to me, the fact that we didn't offer him the qualifying offer means I feel like Ross Atkins probably feels pretty good about the way the conversations with some of the other GMs went. Maybe he is planning on trading a catcher for a starting pitcher. Maybe he does plan on signing a starting pitcher. Like, if we add two starting pitchers and we lose Ross Stripling, we're going to feel okay about that. But Andrew Heaney, by the way, not the guy I want to be bringing in. So, anyways, kind of a weird news, but not quite news unless we kind of really try and read the tea leaves here on this Ross Stripling stuff. But again, you guys aren't here for my analytics. That's for damn sure. Ross Stripling, great 2022 season. A big reason the Blue Jays even made the playoffs after the catastrophe that was Yusei Kikuchi, the unfortunate injury plague start and conclusion to Hyunjin Ryu's season, and the weird up and down roller coaster of Jose Berríos. Ross Stripling was a real unsung hero on this team. If he doesn't get $20 million a year from the Jays, I hope he gets paid somewhere. Chicken Strip, thanks for your time in Toronto, and we wish you all the best. All right, I just want to pivot now slightly to this, which I thought was interesting. So again, this from Shai Davidi here. Gauging where the Blue Jays plan to dine in a carnivore's market. So carnivore's market is the term that Scott Boras has come up with to describe the free agent frenzy that is going to be this off season. I think I'm better with analogies than Scott Boras is, but I don't know. Sprinkle a little cheddar on that free agency market and we'll see what we get. All right. The one notable takeaway that I got from this article here, again, Shai Davidi, friend of the show, had some great conversations with him. Now, Shai Davidi has given us a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. And what he says is that he does hear a lot of things. He talks off the record with guys like Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro, frequently. They give him a little bit of insight into what their real plans are, but it is off the record. But as Shai Davidi has told us, that those off the record conversations, and Arden Zwelling and Ben Nicholson-Smith have kind of echoed this sentiment, is that they do hear some off-the-record whispers that do kind of formulate the things that they speculate on. So when they're speculating about something, I'm listening, is my point here, okay? So obviously there's a lot of talk about the catcher position. Blue Jays have an abundance of catchers. And now this quote here, Ross Atkins said Wednesday, quote, "There are teams that are extremely interested in all three of the big league catchers." That's Danny Jansen, 15 home runs, career high this year through 72 games. Gabriel Moreno made his big league debut, 25 games. He did play the last game of the season at second base and left field, I believe, as well. And Alejandro Kirk, who just won a Silver Slugger Award. So plenty of teams with lots, look, extremely interested in all three catchers. Ross Atkins is going to field offers on all three. It's not up to him to decide who the best trade piece is. It's up to him to decide what the best offer he's getting in return. And we could be in a situation, remember this, where Ross Atkins maybe values Alejandro Kirk as the most valuable catcher for this organization moving forward. But if another team values Gabriel Moreno more, you know, if the Astros are offering us a better package for Moreno than they are for Kirk, then that's absolutely the one we're going to take, right? But here is the big takeaway that I'm looking at. There are teams that are extremely interested in all three of his big league catchers. However, there are some in the industry, again, Shai Davidi saying this, who feel it's even likelier that they trade an outfielder. So we've been speculating on this for a while now. George Springer needs to play DH more often. We can't have him playing 120 games a year. We need him in there for 140, 150, 159 games a year. Center field is a tough spot to play. If we move Alejandro Kirk, free up the DH spot for more of George, and he's playing right field because we've moved Teoscar, or left field because we've moved Lourdes. And look, now we're starting to see it, okay? We're starting to see the chatter. And again, if it's extremely likely that the Blue Jays trade a catcher this offseason, and it's, quote, even likelier that they trade an outfielder, one of them's gone. For me, this is what I'm reading. Let me know in the comments. Am I crazy here? Or when I read this phrase, even likelier that they trade an outfielder, that's like 100%, right? 99% that we're trading a catcher, so it's 100% that we're trading an outfielder. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., left fielder, free agent at the end of next season. Teoscar Hernandez, right fielder, free agent at the end of next season. One of them has to move to make room for Georgie. Georgie moves. Maybe we get Brandon Nimmo. Fill that hole in center field. Bring in the lefty bat. Little certainty with the roster moving forward. I don't know. I've been on it since this past trade deadline that we needed to move one of our corner outfielders. And now it seems like that is imminent. So I guess what I want to know in the comment section here is, of the corner outfielders, if one of them is gone, and let me know, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but when I read even likelier, it just seems to me that that means even likelier. So if one of our corner outfielders is gone, because there's no way George is gone. George Springer's not going anywhere. If Lourdes is gone or Teoscar is gone, which would you prefer? Which one do you want to see the Jays hold on to more? Because this is an interesting debate for us to get into, because there are so many people who are so passionate about Lourdes. There's so many people who are so passionate about Teoscar. Honestly, this is kind of the fun and the pain and the anguish of being a sports fan, is that you get to have your favorite players, and then you have that gut-wrenching moment when they get traded away. Just recently, friend of the show, Taylor Sesedo, pitcher for the Blue Jays, was claimed by the Mets. That was a gut-wrenching moment for me. Scott sent me the tweet. Taylor Sesedo, claimed by the Mets. Very heartbreaking. Had to reach out to Taylor. Wish him all the best in New York. It's tough, man. You get to know these guys. You get attached to them. And it's sad when they're gone. So let me know in the comments which of these corner outfielders is the invaluable guy that we just can't live without. Appreciate it. Appreciate all the interaction and the growth through the off season. This is always our busiest time of year, so we could continue to come at you with content as close to daily as we can get it. Appreciate you sitting through this weird episode today. If you're new here, please subscribe, like, let me know in the comments again your thoughts on all of this. If you're not new here, appreciate you being a part of the walk-off community. Drop a like anyways, just because you know you want to. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. Cheers. All right. Good morning and welcome to a little fun one we're going to do here. So we're going to take a look at the 10 free agents who could bounce back in 2023. Now, obviously, your team would love Aaron Judge. Your team would love Justin Verlander. Your team would love Trey Turner or Carlos Correa, or maybe both shortstops if you're the Texas Rangers. But you can't always get the guys at the top. You do need to fill in with some reclamation projects that you pick up off the scrap heap. So that's what we're going to look at today. Obviously, you guys don't come here for the research and the analytics. That is not my forte. Scott Belford, my co-host, not here today. Not his forte either. You're here for the conversation and the community. So let's converse and let's commune. And let's take a look at this article here on MLB.com by Henry Palatella. That's a great Ninja Turtle name, by the way, Palatella. So 10 free agents who could bounce back in 2023. As he says here at the start of his article, not everyone can be Aaron Judge. Not everyone can sign Aaron Judge. 29 teams are going to miss out on that. But there are some decent projects out there. So let's start the list with Joey Gallo. Remember Joey Gallo? Can't hit into the shift. Good news. Shift going to be banned soon. Maybe a resurgence for Joey Gallo. Traded from the Yankees to the Dodgers midseason after Yankees fans ran him out of town. Here's what I want from everybody watching. Let me know the fan base you're representing and which of these reclamation projects you think your team might be interested in, okay? Joey Gallo, I'm going to represent the Blue Jays here, but again, let me know in the comments who you're representing and any of these guys you're interested in. Not interested in Joey Gallo for the Blue Jays. We've got Springer in the outfield. We've got Tapia. We've got Teoscar Hernandez, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., although I do think one of those guys gets moved. Outfield, not really the position I'm looking to add, unless it's a lefty bat. I don't think Joey Gallo fits the mix there. Mike Zunino, however, catcher, Tampa Bay. While Zunino's 2022 season was lost to injury, 31-year-old catcher, only 1 year removed from mashing 33 home runs. So I just did a video recently about Alejandro Kirk winning his Silver Slugger. I still think Kirk is the guy that's gone in Toronto, leaving Danny Jansen and Gabriel Moreno. However, if we do decide to move on from Danny Jansen, maybe Mike Zunino is the perfect replacement. This is a veteran catcher, 31 years old, got a power stroke just like Danny Jansen. Danny Jansen hit 15 through 72 games this year, so it was about a 33 home run pace. Mike Zunino, rough season last year, but has shown that he can be the guy. Only 36 games last season. As a Jays fan, if we're moving on from Danny Jansen, if that's the catcher we're moving on from, Mike Zunino is definitely a veteran catcher I'd be looking at adding. But again, let me know in the comments what you guys think, if Mike Zunino piques your interest at all. Michael Brantley, now this is an interesting one. Jays fans remember Hazel May reporting that the Jays signed Michael Brantley. This is about 12 hours after we signed George Springer in what turned out to be a hilarious hoax. We did not sign Michael Brantley. He went back to Houston. But now injuries have impacted Brantley as he continues to age. He's older every year because that's how life works. But when he's on the field, he is good. Again, as a Jays fan, I don't have room for him. We've already got an older former Astros outfielder, George Springer, that we're giving a lot of money to. George Springer, really good when he's on the field. We got to keep him there. We can't really be affording to invest in another guy that is only going to play part-time. So Michael Brantley, you don't fit with the Blue Jays, but again, let me know where you're watching from and let me know if Michael Brantley is a guy that might fit your team. After this, we got Mitch Haniger. I was just reading an article. Obviously the Mariners have Julio Rodriguez, also won his first Silver Slugger, rookie of the year. Julio Rodriguez, great center fielder you've got there in Seattle. Mitch Haniger, of the Mariners likely gone. I was reading this article. Mariners are in on Brandon Nimmo, left-handed hitter, also a center fielder, though. So going to have to do some creative shifting in the outfield there to fit two center fielders in there, but that's okay. Mitch Haniger, again, doesn't really fit my needs as a Blue Jays fan. Not looking for an outfielder in this regard. Although, look at this. Strong campaign in 2021. So this is not this past season that just finished, the year before. 39 home runs and 100 RBIs. You'll take that. So let me know if your team's in the market for a Mitch Haniger. Here's another one. Michael Conforto. Michael Conforto had such a weird 2022. Declined the qualifying offer in November. Was a late free agent that kind of lingered through spring training camp. We're wondering where he was going to sign at the last minute there. And then had a weird season-ending surgery during workouts in April while trying to find a team to fit in with. My understanding is that he was healthy by mid-season, and that could have been a guy that was added to a team, but just wasn't. So kind of a weird lost 2022 season. This is an all-star hitter who slugs, look at this, 33 home runs and 92 RBIs for the Mets in 2019 before the weird 60-game COVID season. Michael Conforto, like that's a real option for someone who could certainly bounce back in 2022. Again, let me know if you and your team are interested in Michael Conforto. Then we got Adam Duvall. Great season with the Braves in 2021. Big part of that postseason run that obviously led to the Braves winning the World Series. Bit of a down season for him, though, and now he is a free agent. Again, same old story for me with the Blue Jays. I don't think Adam Duvall is a fit in the outfield here in Toronto. And we've got Adam Frazier, second base. Couple of Mariners on this list, eh? So, Frazier taking a step back since being traded to the Padres. Oh, there you go. Stand corrected. Padres. I'm talking in my own head now. 30 years old. Trong stack record. It is, I'm in need of another coffee. Don't mind me. Adam Frazier, second base. I don't think the Blue Jays are really in the market for a second baseman. We do have Espinal plays a good second base. Biggio is a good backup there, and Whit Merrifield we added last year. Pretty stacked at second base, and if we're being honest, we probably have the best second baseman in the league. He's just playing shortstop. His name's Bo Bichette. But I don't think second base is an area of need for us, but it'll be interesting to see where Adam Frazier goes. I do like Adam Frazier. Hell of a name. My name's Adam. All right, let's move on from Adam Frazier. We got JD Martinez, DH. Now, DH, full-time DH. JD Martinez can mash. The only 2022 All-Star on this list, JD Martinez, Boston Red Sox. No value to the Toronto Blue Jays. We already have a logjam at catcher. We have an even worse logjam at DH, partly and due to one of our catchers. So Alejandro Kirk needs too many games at DH as it is. George Springer needs more and more every year. JD Martinez does not fit with the Toronto Blue Jays. But, man, this guy can hit. Palatella thinks that JD Martinez might be a possible fit with the Guardians, the Astros, the Mets, and the Dodgers. Let me know if you represent one of those fan bases, how much you'd like to see JD Martinez on your team. Red Sox fans, JD Martinez, are we on the precipice of a full-blown rebuild here in Boston? Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers. What's going on? You guys just signed Trevor Story. Weird time to be a Red Sox fan. A couple more on this list here. Will Smith, the slapper of Chris Rock himself, left-handed relief pitcher. Good season with the Braves last year. Kind of a weird season this year. Ended him up in Houston. Didn't really play through the playoffs. I don't even think he was on the roster. Did not appear in a game in the World Series. There you go. Left off the ALDS and ALCS rosters. So, Astros are over him. Do you think he has anything left in the tank? I don't know. Again, you'd sure love to add a Justin Verlander, a nice relief guy. Like, I know Diaz just got re-signed to a mega deal with the Mets. You'd love to add someone like that. But look, Blue Jays, I think maybe Will Smith might be a guy that, if I'm a Blue Jays fan, which I am, I think I'd be interested in a Will Smith. Why not? Left-handed pitcher. He could pitch for me in the seventh or eighth inning any day. All right, yeah. As a Blue Jays fan, I'd say I'm in on Will Smith. If the price is right, give me Will Smith. I'll try that out. Last one on the list here, catcher Omar Navarez. Weird season for him. Defensively, very good. Offensively, very bad. 89th percentile in pitch framing, not really going to be a factor for much longer. I think, is the Robo Umps in this season? Well, I can't think now. Robo Umps going to be eliminating the value of pitch framing very soon. However, in the batter's box, Navarez posted career low in batting average a season after he clubbed a career high 11 home runs en route to an all-star game nod. Again, as a Blue Jays fan, I can't say I have any interest in Navarez. The only one that I would be interested in, again, Mike Zunino, I would take if Danny Jansen is the one of the three catchers that we move on from. Anyways, that's going to do it for us today. That is the list of 10 on MLBs.com. Thank you to Henry Palatella, the Ninja Turtle himself, for that great article, doing all the research, doing all the legwork for me. Makes my life a lot easier when I get to just copy someone else's homework. So we're here for it. We're here for the community, the conversation. Converse down below. Let me know which of these guys you think might fit your team. If you're new here, subscribe, like, drop the comments. If you're not new here, thank you so much for being a part of this community. Join the Discord, link in the comments or in the show notes below. Discord is free to join. Lots more conversation happening there. Don't forget to like this video. And we'll catch you on the next one. Cheers. Hello, hello, and welcome to the walk-off. We're going to go over some way too early 2023 power rankings for the MLB. You're not here for the research. You're not here for the stats and the analytics. You're here for the conversation and the community. So let's do that. Let's converse. Let's commune. And let's copy someone else's homework. So for this, we're heading to MLB.com. We're looking at a Paul Casella article here. It's never too early. 2023 power rankings for the MLB. Congrats to the Houston Astros. Another World Series ring. What's that? 3 in 6 years or something absurd. This Astros team, really, really good. So they're going to start the list at number one. Tough to argue with the Astros being number one. This is a great team. Had a great season. Great results. Question for everybody. If the Phillies had won the World Series, would the Phillies be number one? Does winning the World Series, is that just, you're the best? You've got to be dethroned. You have the crown. Is that how you feel about power rankings? Do they get to be number one all off season, no matter what happens? It's a question worth asking. Number two, we got the Dodgers. No surprise here. Dodgers, again, an elite team, an elite organization. They continue to build with prospects through trades, through free agency. Not as hated as the Yankees, but they are getting there. A lot of bitterness from other fan bases towards the Dodgers. As we go through the list here, just let me know what fan base you represent. I know we are predominantly a Blue Jays-based talk show, but we do seem to be finding a new audience throughout the MLB and with other teams. So Scott and I, in recognition of that, are trying to bring some more MLB broad content. So if you like this, if you like more MLB broad content, let us know in the comments, drop a like. Let us know we're on the right page here. So Dodgers number two. We got Braves number three. Okay, so now we're going to start to get into the questionables. Still haven't seen the Phillies on this list. It was a good season from the Braves. I think a better season than they had in 2021, although the postseason ring would dispute that. Dansby Swanson, free agent, probably third on the list of free agent shortstops this year, maybe four. Man, is it ever deep in that free agent shortstop class. I'd like to see Dansby Swanson in a Blue Jays uniform. Padres, number four on this list. Juan Soto looked good in a Padres uniform, joining Manny Machado and the rest of those guys. Not joining Fernando Tatis Jr., however, as he spent most of the season injured and then suspended for PEDs. Fernando Tatis Jr. will miss, I believe, 60 games of 2023 before he's eligible for return, serving that suspension. So let me know. We had an interesting comment on the mailbag this past week. Bo Bichette for Fernando Tatis Jr. straight across was the trade suggestion. Both players get a fresh start. I got to say, I know as Blue Jays fans, we're hard on Bo Bichette. You couldn't pay me enough dollars to take Fernando Tatis Jr. on my team. Super talented kid, but talent only gets you so far. He can't seem to stay on the field. Health is a major concern. Might even just be a full-time outfielder by 2023. The PEDs, I mean, he's got an excuse. I don't know if it's true or not. Biggest red flag for me was just how his teammates responded and their comments following the news of that suspension. That's a real big red flag. I haven't seen someone kind of yeeted under the bus as fast since the old Trevor Bauer with the LA Dodgers, but let's move on from there. Mets, number five, just signed Edwin Diaz. They spent $20 million a year on a closer. That's a lot of money for a guy who's going to, I guess, impact 40-ish games. That's a lot of money. We'll see if they have anything left in the tank to sign DeGrom, who is now officially a free agent, as is left-handed hitter Brandon Nimmo. I'd like to see Brandon Nimmo in a Blue Jays uniform. He could play center field for me. Move George Springer over to right field slash DH. Trade Teoscar in a package with maybe Alejandro Kirk. Anyways, let's get down the list here. We got the Yankees tied for six with the Phillies. All right, I love seeing the Yankees down so far. Phillies here we'll get to in a second. Yankees, number six. This is was a disappointing end to the Yankees for a team that came out of the gates through April and May just like a cat on fire. They were on pace for historic number of wins. It seemed like they had ran away with the AL East by April 2nd. I know the season didn't start till the 6th or the 7th because of the lockout, but you know what I mean here, right? So Yankees coming into the offseason with number six in the power rankings. Now here's Phillies. We talked about this right off the top with the Astros. Does winning a World Series give you the number one spot? Because if so, losing in the World Series should give you the number two spot, right? They were two games away from winning the World Series, but here, notable, it also took until the final series of the regular season just to make the playoffs. So what I want to know from Phillies fans, welcome to the walk-off. Congratulations on a great, great season and a lot of fun. I had a fun time watching the Phillies this year. Are the Phillies for real? Is this team fact or fiction? Kyle Schwarber sure looked good in the Phillies. Universal DH really helped the Phillies. I don't think the Phillies make the playoffs without a universal DH for Bryce Harper to slot into. Is your team going to run it back? I know that's always the question, right? When you get that close, how much retooling? Was it just some good matchups and some magical playoff run at the end? Or, you know, I've heard one guy linked to the Phillies, Trey Turner. If the Phillies go out and sign Trey Turner, if I'm a Phillies fan, that's pretty exciting for me. So I like the Phillies here. But again, Phillies were six. If they won two extra games, are they automatically number one? Let me know. I don't know. I'm never quite sure how I feel about that. Then we got number eight, the Cardinals. St. Louis Cardinals, they did re-sign Adam Wainwright, a million years old, but they are losing Yadier Molina and Albert Pujols. Congratulations, by the way. Albert Pujols, 700-plus home runs. Just an incredible season from him. Incredible second half of the season, no less. St. Louis Cardinals. This is a team I think might be too high up the list. I don't know. I have some question marks with the Cardinals. Again, at number nine, more question marks with the Blue Jays. Disappointing season as well. Despite winning 90 wins back-to-back seasons, Toronto hasn't won a postseason game since 2016. Oh, Blue Jays fans, we all remember the 2015-2016 era. The bat flip, the bringer of rain, the Ed Wing, we remember it very dearly. Blue Jays power rankings kind of haunt us as fans. We went into the offseason probably in the top 10, but we went into opening day as what seemed like the runaway favorites. People were already engraving our names on the AL East trophy there, the pennant. Thank you. It was slow out of the gate. It was Yusei Kikuchi struggled, didn't look good for us until moving to the bullpen. He looked pretty good out of the bullpen at the very end of September. It gives me a little bit of optimism for Yusei Kikuchi. Hyunjin Ryu, Tommy John surgery, obviously mid-season, took his season down, but never really looked good through the start of the year. Alek Manoah, Cy Young candidate, great season from Alek Manoah. Gausman also looked great. Jose Berríos looked amazing sometimes and looked horrific other times. So I don't know what we're going to get out of Jose Berríos this year. The other question mark, Ross Stripling, going to be hitting the free agent market as Blue Jays did not extend a qualifying offer to him. So he is a free agent. That is one pitching spot that for sure needs to be resolved. Maybe we still bring him back. I don't know. But Blue Jays, it was a tough end to a tough season. Some growing pains for this young core. I still think we can have a good offseason, make some real moves, and come back with a vengeance in 2023. Seattle Mariners, oh, the ousters of the Blue Jays. We all remember that series. It was over before it began. It felt like Mariners had a good, they ended a drought. Longest postseason drought in North American sports, ended by the Mariners this year. Julio Rodriguez, a real legitimate superstar. Hopefully he can stay healthy. He did have some injuries towards the second half of the season. Some question marks about his participation in the home run derby. Kind of scary there. Hopefully just a blip on the radar. And if he can be 158 plus games a season, this kid is the real deal with Julio Rodriguez. So very exciting stuff. Just a brief, quick breakdown of the rest of the 30 here. Rays at 11. The Rays are going to be good again next year. The Guardians, I'm not sure. I have my questions about the Guardians. Brewers, if they could figure things out with their pitchers, should be good again. White Sox, Tony La Russa's out. What does that mean for the White Sox? Once he kind of went on his like medical leave towards the end of the season, they did seem to play better. White Sox fans, are you glad he's gone? Do you miss him already? Let me know. Baltimore Orioles. Now, this is one. This is a real dark horse team for this offseason. Super talented young core. Adley Rutschman looked awesome making his MLB debut. He might be the best catcher in the league next year. This Orioles team could be some spenders in free agency. I would say go all in. If I'm an Orioles fan, an Orioles organization, I've seen enough. This is a team that is ready to make a real push in the AL East. San Francisco Giants, way down the list here at 16. They're not necessarily front runners to land Aaron Judge, but they are a real threat to the New York Yankees signing away Aaron Judge. If Aaron Judge is the only real move the Giants make, how high up the list does he go? I mean, Aaron Judge, AL MVP, almost certainly this year. 62 home runs. He plays for the Giants. Does that move him into the top 10? I guess we'll see. Red Sox at 17. Red Sox, tough time to be a Red Sox fan. Kudos to all the Red Sox fans who are enduring some growing pains right now. Boston fans in general have been spoiled for the last 22 years. They've got Celtics winning in the NBA. They got the Bruins winning cups in the NHL. They got the Red Sox, who multiple World Series rings. New England Patriots, I always forget about them. That's a Boston team too, right? So they've been spoiled by some real talented, maybe the most championship parades of any city in North America through the 21st century so far. But they're entering some real weird times in Boston after trading away Mookie Betts because they couldn't get a contract done. Is Xander Bogaerts the next to go? I mean, he's got 1 year left on his contract, I believe. If they can't get an extension signed this offseason, though, is he traded away? JD Martinez hitting free agency. What do they do with Rafael Devers? They just spent all that money to bring in Trevor Story. It's a weird organization right now. Minnesota Twins saw Carlos Correa really had a good season with the Twins. I would say good, not great from Carlos Correa, but he's going to make a bunch of money somewhere else this year. The Rangers spent on two shortstops last season. They brought in Corey Seager and they brought in Marcus Semien, former Blue Jay. Semien had a really slow start, did end the year with, I think, close to 30 home runs, despite not hitting his first until the end of May. I've heard the Rangers are some of the front runners in on guys like Jacob DeGrom, Carlos Rodon. The Rangers are just going to keep spending money. I mean, they have to at this point, right? But Rangers got Jacob DeGrom. Whew, that would jump them up the list pretty quick. Angels continue to be bad. The rest of these teams continue to be bad. Ugh. If you're a Pirates or an A's fan, all the love in the world to you for supporting your team through the dark times. As a Jays fan who grew up in the early 2000s, I've been there. Okay. But let me know what you guys think of these power rankings. Let me know what you liked of this video. Again, we're just copying someone else's homework here, all right? But we're here for the community and the conversation. So let the conversation begin in the comments section. If you're new here, please subscribe. Drop a like. Let us know if you like this more MLB broad content or if we should just stay in our lane with the Toronto Blue Jays. Anyways, if you're not new here, thanks for being a part of the walk-off community. Do drop a like, let us know in the comments, stuff for Scott and I discuss on Tuesday for the mailbag episode. Otherwise, join the Discord, free invite in the show notes down below, and we'll catch you on the next one. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk-Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! With a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him.
Thanks for listening.